Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Big book. It took 3 decades for each of the 196 papers to appear, and then another 2 decades to put it on a big printer, make sure all the words were correct. They had to go through that process for 10 years, from 42 to 52. All they did was work on typesetting and typos, grammatical errors made in the translation, not necessarily in the writing. The writings themselves, you know, I never understood why the actual writings, well, I do understand, they were burned, they were destroyed on the behest of the revelators. They said they didn't want these pieces of paper lying around. They'd turn into idol, you know, objects of idolatry someday. You think there's one paper somewhere? Probably not. And one thing we can count on was Sadler was a pretty organized, respectable, honorable, loyal gentleman. He would have had to have been. So the decision was made at some point in our history from our, you know, spiritual leaders, if you believe all that. You know, Gabriel is somebody who's been in our world history. He's in all the major religions. He's spoken to prophets for thousands of years. You know, he's the one that commissioned this book. You know, nobody ever talks about that. You know, he's the one that commissioned this book. Either he commissioned it or the Ancients of Days, but I believe the Ancients of Days, they just give their decree. They just say yes, no. Gabriel at some point said, we got to do something here with this planet. This planet is going nowhere. You know, I was watching this show on YouTube. These two guys, they drive around China on motorcycles. And they look like they're, you know, children that grew up in China, but they're American. So they speak fluent English and they also speak fluent Chinese. And so they talk a lot about what life is like there. And so they're driving around. And what I noticed about China, and we've been talking about China, you know, on these episodes, because that's the big elephant in the room. I mean, eventually, China is going to take over this fucking planet, you know? I mean, by sheer numbers, if they just produced 3 children each parent, shit, it'd be 4 billion people. You know, meanwhile, we Americans, we're aborting all of our children. You know, except for the immigrants, right? I mean, the immigrants, they only abort if they can't afford to feed, but if they're getting welfare and health care, what the fuck, you know? I mean, those are the only 2 things you need to raise a kid. Place to live, free medical, and free fucking food. You got those 3 things, you can live forever. I mean, fuck, talk about addressing poverty. You know, and then you still have the idiots in Washington screaming how much they care about you. You know, what you don't know is they don't expect for you to get out of poverty. They'll keep you right there. I know I've got 7 people in my family that all live on the government and they're all impoverished. Meanwhile, Elizabeth Warren's screaming about income inequality. How about benefits inequality? You know, but you know, in socialism, everybody gets the same. You know, what's the saying? By each its talents, by each its needs or something. Anyway, so we know that Gabriel said, we got to throw something at these people because they're going nowhere. And my point about China, just a moment ago talking about that, is that in China, there's a Malay, there's just a sort of we give up kind of philosophy. What are they? Wei Bonfei, I forget what the guy says. And it's what everybody says. And what it means is there's no solution. It's like, don't complain, there's no solution. Don't complain about the government, there's no solution. Don't talk about politics, there's no solution. Don't talk about human rights, there's no solution. And I think this is the biggest danger of socialism is apathy. And if you have a socialist country where people feel apathetic about their life, then the country really becomes stagnant. And as the two motorcyclists were driving around China, you know, I noticed that everything looked in disarray. It looked like the suburbs, you know, in a lot of rural areas of America where there was white flight or people moved away from those areas to build in other areas. It looks like that everywhere. And, you know, look, I watched for 10 minutes. What do I know? But apparently there is, you know, one of the problems, the plagues of China right now, is it's just there's a lot of apathy. People have given up. And I think that's what ultimately socialism does. It makes people give up. And, you know, it made me reflect on the fact that for 500,000 years, the Neanderthal race was supposed to be the big race. It was bigger, faster, smarter. But they didn't go anywhere. They had no spiritual growth. And the Arantia book is about spiritual growth. It's the one thing that differentiates us. It's why of the seven adjutants, wisdom comes after worship, not before. You would think that wisdom to worship, right? But in the seven adjutants, wisdom comes from worship. So think about that for a moment. It's through worship that we gain wisdom. But if we're not worshiping, we're not gaining wisdom, are we? So I'm reading down through my notes here. Look, you know, I believe the revelation, maybe two things will come from it. One is we have to be prepared for the next revelation. Revelations are epical. They occur as punctuation marks. A lot of things happen with revelations, epical revelations. There's the resurrection. There's the dispensational period. Revelations also mark periods of sociological achievement, growth. For example, Adam and Eve came when man had reached its physical apex. You know, Caligasti and the 100th, the Prince of, you know, Urantia came, you know, at the appearance of the six colored races, which represented an advancement in our species. Christ came when the religious, I'm believing, when the religious status had reached its apex and they were ready for new truth. So yeah, revelations occur to mark epical dispensational periods in humanity. And so the next one could happen in 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 100 years. But either way, when it does happen, it's going to make its appearance in the form of either a bestowal son, an avonal son, a Melchizedek, or could be something else we haven't thought of, but the Urantia book seems pretty clear. You know, imagine if people 1,000 years before Jesus had gotten a book that said, hey, you know, you better prepare because a bestowal son is heading your way. Well, that's kind of what happened, because all of the prophets were talking about this one-day appearance of the Son of Man. And so when Jesus showed up, nobody was expecting it to be somebody that was born and raised and lived among them. They were expecting something to come down from the clouds. We still do that. We still think of, you know, divinity coming down from the clouds. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen. And as a case in point, the Urantia book, it's a book. It's a great book, but nobody's reading it. Yet it contains all of this information. And so my point in this episode was going to be about The longer we wait to embrace this book or the teachings or the understanding of the cosmic relationship that we have with other beings and other planets, until we are ready to embrace that, we are going to languish in darkness. And this is why we're seeing more secularism. This is why we're seeing less religion in the world. This is why we're seeing the persecutions. This is why we're seeing dystopia, because people are not spiritually advancing. And the reason is because our spiritual mechanisms, our churches, our institutions, they need an infusion. They need something that gives them a kick. They need to be rebooted. They need to be revised. And the reason being is because they're not having the appeal that they need to have on the younger generation that has been raised in an environment of secularistic science. You know, part and parcel, it's why many people have decided to get into the environmental movement, because it gives them a shared sense of purpose. And Gaia, you know, which is, you know, pretty much a symbol of the earth, becomes the new galvanizing moment. But beyond Gaia, you know, beyond the planet, is eternity and the universe at large. And that's where the Urantia book can offer so much valuable information. So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up here. But look, you know, there's a lot of possible scenarios. I wanted to drop a podcast. This is a little bit more unorthodoxed. You know, we're still trying to work out, you know, what is your Rancher Radio? What is I want the podcast to achieve? You know, who am I appealing to? Who's listening? Who are you? How is this podcast helping you? I wanted to help you, but I also want it to be a reciprocal relationship. So if there's something that we can talk about together, the email is urantiabookradio@gmail.com, urantiabookradio@gmail.com. I'm going to let this fly. I hope you've enjoyed it. I've got some nice music we'll end out here with, and we'll, of course, have another dropped episode between now and next Wednesday. Thanks again for joining us on Urantia Radio, the podcast.